When I think about people today, as I look around, there's a word that comes to my mind these days. That word is overwhelmed. I sense that people are overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by the demands that are placed on them, their time, energy, and attention. And it is true, our senses are overwhelmed. Our brains are overwhelmed. And we can't even sit still. Even when you sit still, the phone demands all of your attention. But more than just that, I don't think that is it. I mean, human beings are very resilient. We've always been able to handle a lot of things. I think there's something deeper that's making a lot of people feel very overwhelmed. It's that the underlying anchors that people have relied upon have been crumbling. The things that they trusted. Even here in Canada, we're going through a lot of change right now. It's making people very uneasy and feeling overwhelmed. For our entire lifetimes, as long as we know, in a way, the United States was our anchor. Our identity as Canadians was closely tied to the United States, whether we like it or not. I mean, the most defining marker of our identity is, I'm not American. But see, even that tells you that our identity is closely tied to the United States. I am what I'm not, but that means that is part of who I am. They were our economic anchor, our security anchor. We could live safely, peaceably, and prosperously because we've had a strong, rich, and to us at least, friendly neighbor to the south. But all that's been kind of changing the last 2 months. Canada is very alone and vulnerable right now. We cannot rely exclusively on them anymore for our economy, but it'll take time to diversify our trading relationships. I mean, even geographically, we're isolated. Who are we going to trade with? We're separated by oceans. We only have one neighbor to the south of us. So yes, I have concerns about the future. I don't know what will happen. Today's passage is the final speech that Moses gives to the Israelites. It begins this way. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you. When you have come. So they're not there yet. They're still in the wilderness. In the wilderness, the Israelites, they had no anchor. The only thing that they knew before their freedom in the wilderness was their life in slavery. That slavery had been their anchor. That's why even though they were free in the wilderness, many times they complained to Moses, why have you brought us here, you know, just to die? At least back in Egypt, we had food and shelter. In the wilderness, they had absolutely no anchors. But there they discovered the one true anchor, God himself. They had to learn how to trust completely in God. They trusted God for everything. Food, water, shelter, security. But it took a whole generation, 40 years in the wilderness, for them to learn how to trust God and God alone. And so that whole first generation, they all died in the wilderness. But then a new generation was born. And this is who Moses is speaking to. By the end of their time in the wilderness, the main outcome is that their identity became secure, our identity as people of God. They became God's people. See, for human beings, our identity, it's never just me. I am who I am in relation to something or someone else. That's our identity. My name is Simon, but even that, my name was given to me by my parents. I am who I am in relation to my parents. I am Junie and Abby's dad. I am a pastor of St. Timothy. Who I am is in relation to someone or something else. And for me, the most important part of my identity is that I am a child of God. God is the unchanging anchor that I pin my identity to. That was the main outcome of the Israelites in the wilderness. They became God's people by pinning their identity to God. They and God became one. So, my friends, in these times, when we feel no true anchor in this world, where anything can change and that change overwhelms us, we have an unchanging anchor. Amen? Amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is who we pin our identity on. If your identity as God's child is clear, steadfast, and unchanging, then you can get through anything in life. That's what I believe. That's how important your identity is. You are a child of God. You are God's. If you know who you are and whose you are, then you will withstand anything that comes your way. Moses' main concern was whether the people would maintain their identity. See, their time in the wilderness was coming to an end. They kind of got used to the wilderness, so they got into a nice rhythm. Yes, God, you know, was providing this and that. But in a new land, a new environment, new context, new challenges, challenges that you couldn't even foresee what they would be. Would they remain attached to God? Or would they get scared and start attaching them to other things? That was the great question in Moses' mind. Who would they be? And my friends, that is the question for us. Who are you? In the midst of a constantly changing world, who are you? In today's passage, Moses institutes spiritual practices that so that people could maintain their identity as God's people. That's what it's all about here today. How they would maintain their identity in new and changing environments. So there's a lot that it teaches us today. This is how he starts. When you've come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. Moses instituted the first fruit offering. This is where we get our practice of tithing from. Give to God before you give yourself. Very different from the financial advice we get today, right? What's the advice you get? What accountants like Tim and others, what do they say? When you get your paycheck, what do? You pay yourself first. Allocate an amount to your savings account before you start. I mean, that's prudent advice. But Moses would add a step before that. Give to God first, and then to yourself. But what's the purpose of that? What does that achieve, doing that? It is a concrete, material way of affirming your connection and relationship with God, isn't it? In a very tangible way. It acknowledges who has given you what you have in the first place. You may have been the one to work and harvest the land, but it was God who gave you the land in the first place. You know, there's an old Korean custom that I learned growing up. It was that, you know, when you start a new job, the first paycheck that you get, you give to your parents. And doing that, that's an acknowledgement of their hard work and their sacrifice and their love in raising me. It's acknowledgement that who I am is in relation to them, right? I'm looking at some faces, confused faces. That is a Korean custom, right? Or did my parents just bamboozle me? Wait, I'm starting to question. Whatever the case, I think it's a great custom, right? We should all practice that. Acknowledge your parents, right? They supported you. But in the same way, giving your first fruit to God, that is your affirming your identity as a child of God. You have given me everything, so here is the first of what you have given. This is something that was instilled deeply in our first generation. You know, during a COVID time when we couldn't have in-person worship service at church, The KSM members, a lot of, they would come and drop off their offering envelopes at the house. So Reverend Chung had to make a separate deposit box. When they miss a worship service, it doesn't just pass. The following week, they bring the past week and the present week offering together. I mean, that is deeply baked into who they are. We need to learn from these things. Giving of your first fruit is the tangible, concrete expression of your relationship with God. But it's not only that. As they gave their offering, this is what they said. And actually, we'll go to the next one. So when the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. What are they doing here? While giving their offering, they remember all that God has done. They remember. And not just that, but they remember how God came to them in their darkest and most difficult moments and rescued them. That is what they remember. My friends, we are here because God has helped us. I know that all of you have faced great challenges in your life. You've overcome great difficulties. Many of you are still dealing with great challenges. But God has been with you. God has brought you to this point. God is carrying you now. Sometimes, right, when we look back, we don't know how we've made it. Sometimes it's surreal. Then we realize that it was God who led us. When I really look back, yeah, I start to remember many dark, difficult moments when I felt so lost and no hope. I don't know why or how, but God helped me. I'm so blessed now, I feel. I don't deserve any of it. But when I think of how God has been with me and led me, yes, it brings tears to my eyes. In that sense, I mean, it's nothing to bring the first of my fruits to God. Of course, God deserves that first portion. God was everything when I was nothing. That's our testimony. And that is the attitude we have in coming before God. By reciting what God did in the past, God becomes real once again in the present, and that gives us hope for the future. When we remember the past, then we recenter our identity in God. Then Moses said, "You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God." That is our worship. After giving our first fruit, remembrance and thanksgiving, we give our worship. Our offering song was beautiful, so simple. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. With thanksgiving, we give to God, we fall down in worship. And then he concludes with this. "Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." After thanksgiving and worship, there is celebration. Levites were the priests, and aliens are those who don't originally belong, but they are invited too, the strangers in their midst. So in other words, with the pastors, so don't exclude us, guys, okay? With the pastors and strangers and people from all over, we celebrate. That's what happens every week in our fellowship hall. I know from a social standpoint, it can seem very intimidating to go there, especially if you're an introvert, right? What am I going to talk about? But from a spiritual perspective, that's not what it's about. Our fellowship is a great celebration of a God who has been with us, who is with us, and who will be with us. Amen? Amen. Everyone is a part of that celebration. That's why I don't want anyone to miss out on it. Just celebrate with us. These were practices that Moses left so that Israel could affirm its identity as God's children. The beautiful thing is, it's not just a one-time thing. God has given us the gift of Sabbath, a weekly rhythm of rest and making life blessed again. Sabbath is our day of rest. But rest, spiritual rest, is not doing nothing. Spiritual rest is re-centering your identity, re-establishing your connection and relationship with God, coming back to who you really are, coming back into whose you really are. On Sabbath day, we worship God and affirm once again that we are beloved children of God. You are all God's children. We have an unshakable anchor in God. No matter how much the world changes, our God does not. How wonderful that is. Know who you are and know whose you are. That identity will be your solid anchor to get you through anything that life throws your way.